It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
Well, what's new is that we're doing a whole episode of What's News. That's what's new.
Not fake new.
Not fake new.
No, real new.
Real new. Real what's news for everybody at the table.
First time we're all back from vacation in a while.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
We've got
Emily got back from the city so nice they named it twice.
New York, New York.
The other name is Manhattan.
Got some Sparrow pizza.
What's new with you, Trev?
I'll tell you, first thing I've got on our what's new list is we are now available on the Big Five. The Big Five are, most of our listeners are on iTunes. That's how a lot of people listen to us.
Right.
But we realize there are some folks out there that are still on an Android platform. An Android platform.
I don't even know what that is.
So we are now available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, and Spotify, which are the Big Five
nice.
Podcast platforms.
On Spotify now.
So
I actually had somebody ask me if we would consider being on Spotify a few weeks ago, but I forgot to bring it up.
We will consider being on anything, anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, no, anywhere.
So that's really exciting. We're making some progress. What is new with you, Ms. Emily?
I have so many new things. I feel like I haven't. First of all, hi, Nate.
Hey.
Feel like I haven't talked to you in so long.
It's been a while.
And I missed you guys while I was in New York, but Lil Warbs did a great job filling in.
He did.
I thought.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, I think he's probably going to leave himself his own review.
As he should. He should get all of his friends to leave reviews, and then he just becomes like,
there you go,
the invisible fourth. But we do have, speaking of reviews, we have a ton of new reviews. And one of them is on our Facebook page, which is Cast and Blast FL on Facebook. If you want to go give us a like, every week we kind of talk about what our episode's about, and we have feedback and we chat with people. It's a lot of fun. So one of the reviews that we have is from Melissa Smith, and she says, you are
Friend of the show,
Melissa Smith. You are all hilarious. The stories, episodes, and boat snacks have been my favorite so far. Can't wait to get to LGI and make some memories of our own. Nice.
That's a good one.
That's a good
one. How does that make you feel, Nate?
You know, feels good. I don't know. Why are you asking me?
I don't know. I just didn't know if that made you feel feelings.
Like, did we just jump into like a psychology session real
no,
quick?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I offended your feelings.
It weirded me out,
asking
too.
You that.
I was like, how does that make you feel? I do have another review.
This is a good review.
It's quite long, so everyone buckle up.
Let's jump in.
I have listened to all of the episodes and can't wait for the new. This is AJ Brooks 81. The podcasts with all of the family stories remind me of growing up. My grandfather, grandmother, and mom and dad always fished. My grandfather and father, who was in a wheelchair, fished together for over 30 years. From the Gulf of Mexico, Horseshoe Beach in a pontoon boat to the St. John's River and a lake called Howie in the Hills and Ocean Pond in a 20-foot cobia. They fished and it was a family event. We had fish fries almost every weekend, speckled trout and brim. We were always in the forest and were always fishing. I heard so many stories and loved to hear them chew the fat and plan the next day's trip. My grandfather has passed away, as well as my grandfather. I think maybe he means both grandfathers.
Yeah, or maybe his grandmother.
Yeah. My father, who is now 70 in a wheelchair, has lost his ability to fish, but he still talks fondly of those memories. I am 37 and an avid fisherman. And I'm trying to make, I think he's meaning more time to enjoy the sport. I've recently purchased a 21-foot center console that he's hoping to restore so he can visit the places of his youth with his wife and kids. With every episode I listen to, it reminds me of the hundreds of stories I've heard and been a part of. Thank you for a podcast that reminds me of my youth and gives me hope for the future. It's like listening to family.
Boom.
So sweet. Did you get a little choked up?
No, like that review... We joke and have a good time a lot. But
yeah.
That review like means a lot to us too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He wrote that while I was in New York and Travis texted it to me and Nate. And I was just like, that is so awesome. Because it's not, you know, we don't just like record a podcast and publish it. There's a lot of behind the scenes that goes into it. And so it means a lot when the listeners care, you know?
Yeah. And we've all been of the agreement before. We don't want to just publish a podcast so that we can say we publish a podcast. Like, we want to make sure that we're putting out content that folks enjoy, that's quality content,
and
not,
it's
not just not yet yeah, not just redundant on top of what's
well,
already
and
out
that,
there
and that touches people in some way, right? Like our stories that really brings back memories for people of their own fishing trips and hunting trips and things like that. So we love to have fun, but we also want to get into the little deeper side of things too.
Sadly, I think for your dad, some of those memories, such as the hook in his head.
Yeah, well, he would like to forget some of those things. But.
It's cool though. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, I want to record my family telling stories because it's just such a gift for generations to come who may not get right. to hear them. We're going to offer that as a service on the side, $50 an hour. I'm just kidding. So we're doing a whole episode about what's new.
Yeah, we are, because we haven't all been in the same spot in a month now. So there's a lot that's transpired in the world, and I felt like it was a good time to catch up. First thing I want to ask is, did any of you guys see the Henry Winkler pics we put on Instagram?
Yes.
Yes. That was amazing. He's like the happiest I've ever seen him in my life.
I wish somebody wrote on Twitter. That's where I found those, was on Twitter. Which, if you guys are on Twitter, please give us a follow out there. Or follow me out there. I'm pretty active on Twitter. But the...
Hang on. What's your handle? So he's Travis Thompson on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm at Travis Thompson. Since this episode's in a morass right now. Not Travis X Thompson. That is a rapper that I get confused for quite a bit. Who opens for Macklemore. You're welcome to follow him too if you like rap music. But please don't confuse us and message me thinking my new album is dope. Travis and I have actually chatted back and forth in DMs quite a few times because I've tried to get people to the right spot, you know?
So Travis Thompson on Twitter and
Cast and Blast FL on Twitter.
Okay.
Anyway, Henry Winkler, the Fonz, also Dr. Saperstein on Parks and Rec.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Also Barry from Arrested Development, Development people.
Henry, I mean, we're talking about Henry freaking Winkler.
Right.
He's
a legend.
Yeah, and dude is out there and he is trout fishing, and he is straight up trout fishing his dreams.
Yeah, he looked like a little kid holding that fish.
Like every picture he's smiling. And so the person that posted, the reason I saw it, a person I follow posted on Twitter, I don't remember who it was, and she said, I swiped right on this picture like 5 times until I realized I was on Twitter and not Tinder. But it's like, it makes me so happy to see him so happy catching a fish.
Yeah, he absolutely. Was.
The Fonz. Hey. Is that too old for you guys? Crickets in the background?
Yep. Had to Google him when you sent us the picture of him.
No, you didn't.
Did. I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You had to Google Henry Winkler?
Yeah, I had no idea who that was.
Oh my gosh.
I don't
you
watch
didn't recognize
TV.
Him as like Dr. Saperstein?
I didn't.
You've seen Parks and Rec, though.
I mean, I recognized him as Dr. Saperstein, but I didn't realize that was the Fonz.
Oh my word.
Okay.
You married me, I'm young.
Hey, as the Fonz would say.
Hey.
Also going to iCast. When this airs, in fact, I'll be
at iCast.
Later today, I'll be at iCast. So make sure.
Jealous.
Make sure you come up and say hi to me. We have one purpose in going to iCast, and that is to see how many more listeners we can engage
Drum
in the
up.
Show. Yeah. Listeners, I mean, we want to talk to advertisers as well, but really we're just trying to create as much interest in the show as we can and make sure we've got all the right players and to continue to bring you guys good content.
Yeah, we talked about a special signal. So if you're a listener and you see Travis at iCast, just walk up to him and just get as close to his ear as you can and just whisper, stay woke.
That would be the creepiest thing ever.
Please don't do that.
And he'll know it's you.
To anyone ever. But I'm fun loving. Like, he can come up and give me a guy hug, like a
side hug,
like a shake hug,
like
type
a church
deal.
Hug,
like yeah, appropriate hug, yeah.
A bro hug.
Leave
bro
room
hug.
For the Holy Spirit.
I mean, we'll right. see. We'll see.
What have we? Travis and I have always said to each other, if it's work related and you have to flirt, go for it.
Yeah.
So go for it, babe.
Anyway, I'm super excited about iCast. Going to be a really cool show. And going to be a lot of industry insiders there. And hopefully we can bring you guys some
swag.
No, not bringing you any swag.
Why?
No, this isn't the convention in season 3 of The Office. But hopefully we can bring you guys some more content in the future that revolves. I mean, maybe we can do some interview stuff off to the side and everything. Like I said, we don't want to reinvent what other folks are already doing, but there's some good stuff out there. And I'll be able to come back and tell you about what I saw. That'll be good.
That's awesome.
So we will do a little bit of a post-iCast recap.
You're going to need to keep me updated 24/7 during your time there.
Absolutely, I will.
Maybe he can do some Instagram live on Cast and Blast FL.
There you go.
Like, this just in.
That's a good idea.
Can I give you an assignment?
I'm sad to admit, I'm the only person at this table that's never done an Instagram live.
Not willingly, you haven't.
I haven't done an Instagram live. Oh, I mean, I did a story, but...
I thought that was the same thing.
No, it's not.
Assignment. We talked about on one of the episodes the system that would like tell you if your batteries were low on the boat.
Yes.
And it's the power pole people.
Power
that
pole
were,
fusion.
Yeah. And it hasn't come out. but they announced it at last year's iCast. I need a follow up. Okay. I need a status update, please.
I'll corner them and pin them down on that.
Let them know it's me asking.
So I will.
They'll take it seriously.
I'll drop your name and see if they jump right to it.
Yeah.
They'll probably just roll one out. They'll
for
be like,
test.
Oh, yeah, we have it right here.
We're ready for you guys to beta test it. Hey, I have a what's new.
What do you got?
I got a new fishing hat.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I don't even know if this is fit for radio. Like, go okay, ahead.
Here's what happened. I talked about on the hats episode that I love American Eagle hats for women.
Right.
So I was at the mall and I went to American Eagle and in their clearance bin, they had the exact hats that I wanted. And I was like, oh, snap, for $6. And it was pink. There's a pink hat. And I was like, I need this hat. So I picked it up and guess what it has on it?
Guess, Nate. Just guess.
An eagle? I don't know.
Nate, it has a hot dog on it.
No,
just
it doesn't.
A tiny effing hot dog on the front of the hat in a bun. And I'm like, this is kismet. This
it's
is
serendipity. Everything.
Yeah, I have to buy it. So I tried it on. It fit my head. I bought it and I was so super excited. Came home, wore it out of the house. 5 to 10 days later, I picked it up and realized that on the back of it, it says dirty dog.
Less appropriate.
Less appropriate.
Very much so less appropriate.
So I haven't decided how to handle that yet, but I really like the front of it.
Yeah.
Is it embroidered?
Yeah. Then? Yeah.
Maybe you can just undo it.
With like a seam ripper. That's a good idea.
Maybe she just doesn't care that much. By the way, did y'all see that somebody posted a picture of hot dogs getting ready for duck season on the Florida Duck Hunters page the other day?
Yes.
That got my blood pumping. Hot dogs. He was posting hot dogs like from a racetrack. Like a gas station.
Oh, I did see that.
Talking about getting ready for duck season. I was like, dude, that's
big. That's true.
I've got enough racetrack points, I think, to where I should not have to pay for a single hot dog this year.
That's pretty baller, yeah.
Unless we go one time to racetrack and get like 42 hot dogs.
Hey, I mean, YOLO, you know?
If we do something like that, I will probably have to pay for them on another trip. But, I've been working hard pumping all my gas at racetrack so I get some hot dog cred.
That's good stuff.
Also, you can refer to me now as the Sultan of Soda, because I also get a free Slurpee every day.
Wow.
I know. These are the things you hang your hat on.
Is that kind of like the Sultan of SWAT?
Sort of like that, only you get a soda.
Not home runs?
Correct. What do you got?
I've somewhat become a little bit of a river rat in the last couple of weeks.
What is that? Okay.
How's your boat?
First off, what is your definition of a river rat?
I don't really know, but I've floated on two different rivers in Georgia in two separate weeks.
Floated like in a tube?
So the first one was a kayak, and it had some like little rapids and stuff. I went off like a little 4 foot or 5 foot waterfall.
Nice.
Which was a lot of fun. Then the second time we went July 4th and we floated the Chattahoochee, which runs right through Atlanta.
Way down yonder.
Way down yonder.
That's awesome.
It gets hotter than the Hoochie Coochie.
Was it hotter than the Hoochie Coochie?
No, the water was about 60 degrees.
Did you get a little crazy?
No.
But you didn't get caught?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we didn't get caught. No, we didn't have a pyramid of cans either, but, you know, or in the pale moonlight. We had fun. And that was in a tube because it's much less. It's more just like chilling. There's really no rapids or anything at this part. But I was surprised at how cold the water was.
Really?
But apparently, I was reading the tailwaters, you know, because Lake Lanier is dammed just north of Atlanta.
Right.
Which is part of the Chattahoochee. And so, but the tailwaters coming out of Lake Lanier stay at that level all year long. Like between 50 and 60 degrees all year long.
The temperature, is that because of mountain runoff or something? Like, it's just cold
water
coming in?
No, I think it's like really deep in the lake.
Okay.
Where the dam comes in, like 50 or 60 feet deep. And so I think just that deep, the water just stays cold all the time.
We have swam in the Chattahoochee River before.
And, oh, yeah?
And it was not cold where we swam.
Where did you swim?
Eufaula.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure by that point it warms up quite a bit.
South Alabama.
Have I been in the Chattahoochee?
You have.
Well, shoot.
It was not what you expected.
Oh, I remember that.
Let me ask you this. Have you bought your own tube?
Yeah, I did buy my own tube.
Really?
So I have it, yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking there's like three classes of tubers for the river. Like there's a hierarchy. There's a social hierarchy there.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And my guess is there's the actual jet black inner tube, the original, the OG inner tube.
Yeah. Like the inner tube of a tire.
Yes. Like it came from a tire. Then the next level up, I'm guessing is kind of a generic, like red or green or whatever chartreuse with some splatter color on it. And then I'm thinking there's like a slice of pizza or like a hot dog or something like that. Yeah. Like,
so
where do you come in?
Mine is kind of in between the second and third one. So it's a nice raft or tube. It's not raft. It's a tube. It's got cup holders on each side.
That's a pro move.
It's got a backrest, the blow up backrest
awesome
thing. So it's pretty nice.
Do you float a cooler?
You absolutely can float a cooler. We did.
Like,
it's better to have a separate raft, like little raft for the cooler. We didn't have that, so somebody had to hold it in their lap.
Do you stick an NRA sanctioned Yeti flip in to another raft and tow that along with you?
If I had an NRA sanctioned Yeti flip, I would have.
Collector's item at this point. You can no longer get those.
We just had a generic cooler.
Okay, like an Igloo or a Coleman, something that's worked for the last 78 years.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you're allowed to do that, I guess.
That sounds like so much fun. Just like
it's a blast.
Lazily rafting.
Right, and it's so close because you just go, you take two cars, you drop one off where you want to get out, you drive up to the next input place like 3 miles upriver, jump in and float and get out.
That's a good time.
It's super easy. Yeah, it's great.
Let me ask you this about the tube, because I'm curious about the tube situation. Do you blow it up yourself? Like, do you have like a little compressor in your car, or how's that working?
I used an air compressor.
Okay.
To do mine. See? So it was really easy.
Okay.
A lot of people have the ones that hook up to your car and blow it up. There are about 40,000 people floating.
Okay. Roughly.
Yeah. July 4th. So in every parking lot, there was about 50 pumps going on at the same time. So all you heard was like everywhere.
How did it sound again?
No, you heard me. It was a little crazy, but it was a lot of fun.
Here's a good one. Did you guys hear? Do you remember last year there was a viral video of a vegan, like a family of vegans, and they went to a guy in Tampa and they grabbed his fish and threw it back in the water?
I saw this.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember this.
You don't remember this? Mm-mm. We'll have to put a link to the video in the show notes. Those guys, the vegans harassing the fishermen, go on trial yesterday. So that's big news.
That is big news.
Like, they're getting they've been cited for harassment of fishermen. So
illegal.
Yeah, let's hope, since it was all on video, they get the book thrown at them and discourage that sort of behavior moving forward.
So something new also for me is I used Uber for the first time ever.
First time ever?
Yeah, have you used it, Nate?
Like 100 times, yes.
Really? In Atlanta or in Florida?
Both. Mostly in Atlanta, because parking and traffic and stuff is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to pay to park somewhere, or there's not a lot of parking somewhere. So, you know, you just Uber. It's so easy and so convenient. Way better than a taxi.
So you just like did my spiel for me. I couldn't believe how awesome it was in New Jersey and New York to be able to Uber around. Because every other time I've been like underground on a train or in a taxi with a rude taxi driver.
Right. We as a family, when we were in London visiting my brother, we used them over there too. And it was super simple.
Yeah. Just total game changer. They come right to you. I don't know if any of y'all are still late Uberers like me, but also it wasn't expensive. I mean, for the four of us over the length of time we were there, it was not much more expensive than taking taxis or public transportation, honestly, because of the time it saved us.
And didn't you say you felt like they were nicer because of the way the reviews work?
Yeah, because you rate your Uber drivers and you leave them tips and stuff.
And you can leave them tips, right? Mm-hmm. So based on how good they are, how nice they are, you give them 1 to 5 stars and a tip or not.
Yeah,
so
you rate like their conversation skills, their music, their car. We even had an Uber driver who we got in and he was like, "Do you have an Apple? Do you have an Android? I have all these chargers. Charge your phone while you're in my car. Well, I'm taking you the next
one." Some of them have like waters.
Yeah,
like
one of us.
Full of water.
Yeah,
did they have LaCroix?
They did not have LaCroix.
No, they're not crazy people.
You know, we made fun of LaCroix a lot. I read a description of a LaCroix flavor the other day that I liked. Said, imagine like a strawberry, but on low battery.
I love it. Better.
Okay. Before, I have a game is the foot.
Oh,
I did not tease you guys that I have a game is the foot.
A game is the foot.
A game is the foot. I have in my hands, you can see, three magazines. I have Modern Huntsman, which we talked about. That was my keep item last week.
Yes.
I have the July issue of Florida Sportsman.
Excellent.
With the redfish on the cover. And then I have the summer 2018 Backcountry Journal, the official publication of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Nice.
Okay. Here's the game. I'm going to give you a title. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 7 titles. You're going to tell me which magazine that title comes from.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
All right.
Emily, are you ready? Are you in on this?
Sure.
First title, Sweat Equity.
That's it?
That's the title.
That's a BHA title.
Yeah, I'm going back. I was about to say Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
So. You're going Backcountry Hunters and Anglers?
Backcountry.
It's
let's
not
do
classy
it.
Enough for the modern huntsman.
It is a Florida sportsman title.
Oh, my God.
No
do
way,
you think they're listening to the show?
Yeah, I think we've completely changed the paradigm for them.
Whoa. See, but BHA talks about sweat equity.
Yeah.
And like you get out what you get in.
I know.
Like
that's
that.
Why I picked it. It's actually the title of one of their Action Spotter articles. So
okay.
It wasn't
all
like
right.
a full length article, but still, I thought that was a good one. Riches Underwater.
It sounds a little like Modern Huntsman.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's
kind of cool, like a really cool title.
You go
but
Modern
it also
Huntsman.
Could be BHA.
Well, you pick first.
I'll go Modern Huntsman.
Okay, I'll go BHA.
It is Backcountry Journal. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Nice.
Super good article written by a guy named Matt Martins. Matt, if you listen to the show, please let us know. Really interesting article. He's writing, he's in Idaho for sure. And he's writing about, no, it's not Henry Winkler that wrote the article.
I said his name wrong. That's why I'm dying.
What did you say?
I said Henry Winkle.
That's not his name.
I'm so sorry.
So Matt Martins wrote this article, and it's about the author going fly fishing, and he meets someone in the parking lot that asks if he's there looking for Finn's treasure. And if you've never heard of Finn's treasure, there's a poem written by Forrest Finn, who is an art collector, and supposedly he has dumped some treasure somewhere between the Rio Grande and Canada.
That's specific.
So, and there's like websites devoted to this and stuff, and people look for this treasure. And this guy, the author, had never heard of it. And it's a really well-written piece. And at the end of the article, he talks about how he found the treasure because he found a trout. He caught the trout that he was looking for.
Right.
Which I don't think you can cash that at the bank, but I like the sentiment quite a bit. It was a really well-written article.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, Riches Underwater is a Backcountry Journal article. Here we go. Offshore jacks to count on. Florida Seriola jacks. Almaco jack, banded rudderfish, greater amberjack, and lesser amberjack.
Like, is this even...
Florida
this
sportsman.
Even a, yeah, it's Florida sportsman.
100%.
Oh my gosh. How many times can you say Jack in the same sentence?
That's what I was going to say. Like, if the editors do happen to listen to this and we're moving the needle for them at all, if you repeat the word in a headline, don't. Like, just take that word out and let's see how it sounds.
Yeah, you can, like, do commas, right? So, amber, comma, amico, comma.
Or
blah,
just
blah,
maybe
blah, blah, blah.
Maybe leave it to some mystery. Like, let's leave the
list. Let's talk about Jacks, and then that's it.
Let's leave some of the names to mystery.
They could title it You Don't Know Jack. That was funny,
Emily, that's a great title.
And a great,
that's a great title.
Acknowledge me.
Yes. That is a great title. You Don't Know Jack.
Quail Lessons.
Oh, I'm going with Modern Huntsman.
Yeah, me too.
Because the
go,
quail
I'm
seems like a pretentious bird.
This is not a pretentious magazine.
No. Yes, it is. It's like a freaking coffee table book.
It's not pretentious.
It's as thick as my thumb.
It is, but that doesn't make it pretentious.
And it's fancy. And it's white. And.
I don't even understand what's happening right now.
I'm just saying.
I don't even know how to respond to that comment.
You don't see like clean, pretty, well-designed hunting magazines.
That's the point. That's the point. That's what
exactly.
they're trying to do.
Exactly. So I'm saying, what was the title? You said something about quail?
Quail lessons.
Quail. It's got to be that one. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
It is Modern Huntsman.
Fancy birds only in Modern Huntsman.
The guy that founded it, Tyler Sharp, wrote a article on quail hunting with two friends, and the two friends had kids, and they talked about the pursuit and being able to harvest a few birds, but also caring about the birds. And it was good. It was really good. So I'm pushing that magazine pretty hard right now because I'm really impressed with it.
Yeah, I need to get it. I just don't have an extra $35 laying around.
You know what I love about magazines like this, just pause for a second, is you could slice out these pictures and frame them. Seriously. And they would be like beautiful art for your home.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, it looks like Florida in this one I'm looking at right now. It's like a mud or a airboat.
Yeah. No, it's a gorgeous magazine. Sawtooth.
Backcountry.
That's it? Just Sawtooth?
Just Sawtooth.
I'm going to go BHA because there's a Sawtooth Wilderness mm-hmm. out west somewhere.
Very good. That's exactly what it's about. Idaho's Sawtooth Mountains. Give an inch, take a mile.
That's Florida Sportsman.
I'm going to go Modern Huntsman just to break it up.
Nate, you're correct. What do you think that's about?
Probably either hunting rights or fishing rights or public land.
It is about the desert bighorn sheep conservation. Do you know anything about desert bighorn sheep?
A little bit.
Like, you would know more than anyone sitting at this table about it.
As usual.
Most likely, yes.
I did not know that there were bighorn sheep in Texas.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing, and I guess they're...
It's not a huntable population, but they're there.
They're working hard to bring them back and manage them right, so that they could bring them back to a huntable population. Crossroads.
Gosh.
Backcountry.
Florida Sportsman.
Florida Sportsman.
That's it? No subtitle.
Fishery managers face tough decisions on favorite species.
You tricked us. You tricked us.
One of these things is not like the other. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Florida Sportsman Magazine, or Modern Huntsman.
Wait.
Wait.
So the title
no,
is...
No, we've done all the titles. I'm saying one of these things is not like the others.
Oh.
Modern Huntsman, Backcountry Journal, or Florida Sportsman.
Yeah, it's Florida Sportsman. What else you got new, Emily?
Okay, so this is... I'm going to make this outdoor related. So when I went to New York, we saw a Broadway show. We saw Frozen, which was Olivia's choice. Because it's her trip. The animal... Have you seen Frozen, Nate?
Yes, I have.
So you know about Sven, the moose thing?
He's a reindeer.
Right.
He's a reindeer.
This song is called Reindeers Are Better Than People.
Oh, my God.
It's not moose are better than people.
There's not enough syllables.
Nope.
Moose are better than people.
Did you see the... movie and or Broadway play?
That was a long day and a story for another podcast, but the reindeer was my favorite part. It was one man in the costume, and he's essentially holding a plank position the entire time he's on stage. And some of the, like they said, his longest time on stage in plank is like 14 minutes.
Did he do 80 Day Obsession?
No, but they train for it. And so he's got like 11-inch stilts under his hands and feet. And it's the most amazing performance I've ever seen. I mean, he moves like an animal on stage. And I was just blown away by how cool that was. I've never seen The Lion King or anything like that. So Sven the reindeer was like, he stole the show for me.
Are you going to make that outdoors related by mislabeling him as a moose?
Well, he's a reindeer. That's an animal.
Or caribou, as we like to call them in North America.
Did they hunt him?
No one did that.
Did they harvest him?
No, he was a person.
Oh.
He has feelings in a family.
He doesn't.
No.
That's the Disneyfication of America right there.
Yep.
Don't hurt that bat. Anyways, so I just wanted to say, we'll link to it in the show notes, but there is a fantastic article that they interview the two men who play Sven on Broadway, and they talk about their challenges and like how they observed animals in the wild to learn how to move on stage, and it was just really cool. So if you're interested, we'll link to it. Maybe that's just me.
I'm thinking of the Venn diagram. Cast and Blast Florida podcast listeners, Broadway actor aficionados.
There might be one in there.
Yeah, it's you. It's the one talking right now.
This is brutal. I need Austin.
All right, I have an update on the Red Tide episode. That's. I don't know if you guys knew this. That's a big deal.
You've been priming this for weeks.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So we're actually, my goal is to have something on the Red Tide to our listeners before the elections at the end of August. So I know that's a little bit of time out. And I know in some areas it seems like the Red Tide is getting better. I think sometimes the perception is not always what's reality because you got the bloom happens. And then the dead fish show up a few days later because it takes them a while to die and then float up.
Right.
So just because you don't see dead fish doesn't mean there's no red tide apparent. So we're still digging into that. Hopefully going to meet a few more contacts this week that we want to talk to on the show. And that may actually turn into a couple of episodes.
Okay. I got one more what's new, and it is outdoors related. So I think we've talked about...
Is it outdoors related in the same way that an actor playing a reindeer that might be a moose is outdoors related?
Well, it is tangentially related to the outdoors still, but I think this one's more appropriate. Okay, so one of the shows that we love, it's a podcast. It's called The Popcast, and they talk about pop culture, and it's like a really fun listen if you want another fun podcast. Knox McCoy is one of the hosts, and he greenlighted a book called Florida by Lauren Groff. And I was on a plane a lot last week, and I thought...
Let me interrupt you, because the Popcast is a show that we've based some of our structure off of.
Yeah, so they do red lights, green lights on stuff they love.
Like,
or
we
hate,
do keep and release.
Keep and release, so, yeah.
And they talk about pop culture in a different way than most shows would talk about it. So it's enjoyable to listen to. I don't listen to it every week, but I do tune in a few times a year.
Yeah, if you're a reality TV fan, they're a great show for you because they talk about The Bachelor and... Big Brother.
But let them know we sent you.
Yeah. Anyway, so this book is called Florida, and it's these just short stories about weird crap that's happened in Florida. And you know we end up on the news a lot for weird stuff. And
Florida man.
Florida man. I was really excited to read it, and I started reading it.
I was too until I read the reviews.
I didn't read the reviews before I bought it because Knox greenlighted it, and I was like, I love Knox.
Who does that? Who doesn't read the reviews before they buy a book?
Well, I read Knox's review, technically.
Okay. Well, you listened to his review.
And no, I actually read it. I didn't listen to the episode about it. Mistake number two. This is a very dark and twisty book. Like every short story starts out very Florida. Like I was at a cabin in the woods and there was a Black Panther roaming around. And
there's no such thing as a Black Panther.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe it wasn't.
These aren't true stories.
Listen, so. I'm not good with animal identification. Moose, reindeer, black panthers, regular
snapper, flounder.
I don't see the world that way, okay? Anyway, the mom is like there with the boys and she falls down and cracks her head open and almost dies of a concussion. And so it's like they start out really cool talking about old Florida and I get really excited. And then every single one takes like a nosedive down to this terrible dark place. So wouldn't recommend it necessarily if you're struggling with depression or anxiety. But if you just want to read weird stories about Florida...
Lauren but they're Croft. Not like historical stories or anything.
I don't think so. I think they're just about weird crap that happens in Florida.
There's like no upside to that.
No, none.
That's weird.
It is very weird.
All right. I've got one more thing that I do want to mention on here. Austin last week for his keep item, he did Duck Season is Coming.
Right.
Broke the seal.
This coming Monday. He did. He broke the seal. This coming Monday, I am opening up Duck Season bookings.
Word up.
Heyo.
So if you listen to this show and you want to duck hunt with me, I am only booking 40 trips. So I've got to space some time out for when Nate comes and visits. I've got to space some time out for my family. Like I have to keep some, what was it, 2 years ago when I did 80 something trips and I didn't see you guys for 3 months.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
So I'm really trying to put a limit and some boundaries on that. So anyway, if you're interested in doing a duck hunt with me, please message me so that I can get you on the list so I can make sure we get you in this season.
How much is it for a deposit?
It's $100 deposit to get in. Go ahead and pick your dates out and let's get you on the list because like I said, those will go quickly.
Good deal. I'm excited about duck season this year. I've been shopping for waders on the Facebook Marketplace.
She has.
They all sold. Everyone stay woke.
You don't do stay woke now.
Okay.
Do you even listen to this show?
It's time for Keep and Release.
What is your release? Bad news first. Almost a keep, but release.
Okay. So Olivia got you a cool Father's Day present. Have you talked about it yet?
No, I haven't. She got me a Sportsman's Box subscription.
Yeah. And it came with tons of awesome stuff, which I don't want to unpack at all because you might use it in the future for keeps or releases, right?
Oh, yeah. But no, it was... you guys know I'm a big fan of Avid Gear is their website. Like, I like their products quite a bit. I like their shirts. Right. I like their logo. I like the way their stuff fits. Love their hats. It's probably my preferred hat of all the hats. It's my lucky hat. Anyway, it came with Avid stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what your...
That's not the thing. Releases. So, yeah, I have a release. But it came with... it's a cool concept, okay? It's a Jolt is the brand. A Jolt power pack. And so it's like a single serve... battery charger for your iPhone or your Android device.
Disposable. Okay.
So it's like a little square. It's about the size of like, I don't know, a Godiva chocolatier square. And it's got a port sticking out of it like a phone charger. And you just plug it into your phone, charges it, throw it away.
Charges 20%.
That's it?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's it?
And it's $14.
For three.
For three of them.
Yeah, no, I'll just get a solar charger.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
It's a
and have free power forever.
It's a great idea, but the pricing is just out of whack on it.
Yeah, I would just, like, if you had three kids, I might spend $14 and put one in each of their glove boxes and be like, if you ever get stranded and your phone's dead, at least you can make a phone call. But I wouldn't even trust that on a boat.
No.
I just wouldn't. So I think it's a cool concept, but the value is just not there for me. So that's my release.
All right, Nate and I are doing a team release because unbeknownst to each other, we wrote down the same thing.
The same thing.
So go ahead, Nate. I'll let you take it.
All right. So this past week, actually July 3rd, the day before we celebrate our freedom.
America.
Which is ironic. This dude, Senator Mike Lee out of Utah, basically came out and said, I'm proposing a bill to where we transfer Utah's public lands to the states and put housing on them.
Yeah, federally funded housing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, this dude, a lot of these politicians who want to actually transfer to the states don't actually come out and say, I want to transfer to the states. But this dude is like going all in, pushing all his cards, showing all of his cards and saying, look, I just want to transfer all the public land to the state.
Did he want to, he wants to push back on the Antiquities Act? Like he's got all kind of.
Yeah, I mean, he's all kind of stuff. And here's the thing about transferring lands. And if you're a conservative, you think, wow, okay, state-run lands, that sounds pretty good to me. Get it out of the federal government's hands. Well, the problem is many of these states don't allow public access on their state lands. And when they get strapped for cash,
they sell the lands.
Their budget's low, they sell them. So your federally run public lands that you once had a chance to recreate on, hunt, fish, shoot, camp, hike, horseback ride, four-wheeler, if that's allowed, whatever. This isn't just hunting and fishing. All of a sudden, they're gone. They're sold to the highest bidder, and it becomes private land.
Wow.
That you can never access again.
Yeah.
Unless it gets bought back by the federal government.
The one thing that the federal government has done the best traditionally is public land management.
Land management, yes.
And the idea of stripping it out of the federal government and put it back in local hands is just a terrible idea.
Right. In the East, a lot of these Southeast states have really good, well-run state lands. Like Florida has great, well-run state management areas and state-run lands. But out West, where this guy's from, a lot of state lands, you can't do a lot of stuff you can do on the federal lands. Like
correct.
A lot of them, you can't camp or you can't hunt or you can't discharge a firearm or whatever, you know, so it's a different different ball game out there.
Rolling into the Antiquities Act, which allows the president to put whatever lands they want into like a national park. Getting into this is a dangerous precedent to set going forward, not just for out West, but for everywhere. Because what's to stop the state of Florida then from saying, hey, we need
Ocala National Forest, we're going to sell it.
Yeah,
we're going to transfer it and then we need to sell it.
We're going to need some cash, so we're going to put in 400 units of low-income housing there.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's exactly what they're proposing to do. So
right.
The guy's name is Mike Lee, which, strangely enough, he's one of the candidates for the Supreme Court opening, the vacancy that we won't.
Right.
When we're recording this, we don't know who was announced yesterday, but he's one of the names on it. He's pretty far down the list, but super dangerous stuff. So that dovetails into your keep item.
So my keep is the organization Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and we talked about them earlier in the episode with their Backcountry Journal.
And we talk about them guys, all the time.
All the time, because they're a great organization, and they are leading the fight against this kind of land transfer. Basically, their motto is keep public lands in public hands. That's what they're fighting to do, and these guys are a great organization. They're pro-hunting, pro-fishing, pro-recreating, and if you hunt or fish on public land, which in Florida, if you fish anywhere in saltwater, you are fishing on public land. And if you fish in any local lake, you are fishing on public land. And in Florida, you know, obviously if you're hunting on state land, you're hunting on public land. But anyway, join this organization because they are leading the fight against this transfer and sale of public lands all across the nation, not just out West. It's a big Western issue, but it could become an Eastern issue. That's why we're trying to get this thing going.
And
so
we've talked about them on the podcast before. They've got a great Facebook group. Chad Rashar is the VP of the Southeast region, but he
right.
is a Florida resident. He lives up in Jacksonville. Super active guy, super accessible guy. So definitely an organization that, you know, it will tell you guys, I'm pretty wary of nonprofits after mm-hmm. some of my experience in my life with nonprofits. This is one that I just, their mission seems so simple. Their vision seems so simple. It's not overly complicated. You know what I mean? It's
right.
I don't know. It just seems like a no-brainer to be a part of that organization.
And I think it's $25 a year.
It is. It's $25 a year. So,
I mean, that's not that much money. Just throw your name in the hat. You get a magazine. It's a cool deal.
Not to hijack your thing, but not even to get into politics, but isn't it, it's like a weird time to be an outdoorsman politically, right?
It really is.
Because most outdoorsmen, I would say the vast majority of outdoorsmen, tend to side with the pro Second Amendment conservative viewpoint. But the right. environment seems to go by the wayside on that. So you're really sitting in the middle, torn between two parties that neither one seems to have your interests at heart.
Right. No, it's crazy. And a lot of the people proposing these land transfer things are on the pro Second Amendment conservative side of things.
Right.
So you're sitting here saying, okay, you're pro hunting, you're pro fishing, you're pro Second Amendment, but you're not pro land to do these things on.
Yeah.
And you're not pro like environmental issue, like clean water, clean air type stuff.
It's a super weird time because you're talking about the hot button issues are not really the outdoorsman's issues besides gun control. And yet to me, it's an interesting demographic that's being kind of left by the wayside as we move into the new America.
I agree.
So, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a
I'm glad tangent. You said that because I never, even living with you and Nate doing a podcast with you for almost a year now, I've never thought of it that way. And that's really interesting.
Yeah. Like it seems to me like there could be candidates out there that could really pull a swing together. If they could. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Yeah. To oversimplify it, if you could find some kind of a Democrat that went pro gun, or you could find some kind of Republican that went pro environment.
Mm hmm.
And really went pro-environment, I think you'd see a lot of movement on that front. I mean, you don't see landslides much anymore, but in an outdoor-driven state, you would absolutely see it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So it'll be interesting to see, going back to our red tide thing for just a second, DeSantis actually came out. He's the only candidate on either party for the governorship of Florida that's made the Laco discharges an issue. Like, he wants to do something about them. So
that's interesting.
I don't know how all that's going to shake out. They're all politicians, right? At the end of the day, somebody asked me the other day, who do you think is the best to vote for environmentalists and or for outdoorsmen? And I said, none of them. Like, vote for other issues because none of them really care about outdoorsmen.
That's true. Sadly, that's true.
If any of them want to come on the show and dispute that, they're welcome to.
Yeah. If you want to prove us wrong, then do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Keeps.
Yeah. Do you have a good keep?
I have a great keep.
What is your keep?
Have you ever been through airport security?
I have been through airport security a billion times.
Nate.
Same.
Okay. So you know the lines get to be a little bit much. Have you ever been sniffed by a dog in the airport?
Like,
yes.
In an airport?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the bomb dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like the dog that's just like walking in circles.
Yeah, they'll have them in a little rope area in the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is my keep because I've never been bomb sniffed by a dog and it was the best little doggo. But we were waiting in line to go through security.
You didn't pet the dog, did you?
No.
You're not allowed to pet
him. I know the rules. I just looked at him with love in my heart.
That dog would bite your face off.
So we all got sniffed. And as we were walking to the, you know, the machine where you stand with your hand above your head and you get body scanned and they check your rectum or whatever. They were like, did you get sniffed by the dog? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, well, just come this way. And you didn't have to unpack anything, take your toiletries out, take your computer out, nothing. You just walk through the metal detector and you golden. And I was like, this is amazing. Why do we not have this in every airport all 100% of the time?
I've only seen the dogs in the busiest of airports. Like, I've seen them in Atlanta before.
Right.
I've seen them in Chicago before.
So this was in Orlando because we were flying to Jersey. And it was Tuesday morning. So it wasn't, I don't think it was a peak time.
No, I don't know that I've ever seen them in Orlando. And I've flown out of there a billion times.
But I have TSA pre-check. So.
Oh, fancy. Oh, you fancy.
We can't all be ballers.
I'm just saying, you know. Like, those dogs probably enjoy, most dogs enjoy being working dogs.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, give them a purpose, give them a job, and it makes everyone's day better to just flip through airport security.
You just wish you could add in petting the dog to the
Oh my gosh, yes.
What kind of dog was it?
Speaking of petting dog, there's a picture on Instagram of you getting licked in the face by some rando dog.
Rando dog. City.
That was at Mood, which any of you Project Runway people.
Again, let's draw a Venn diagram. Yeah. Listeners of the Cast and Blast Florida podcast versus Project Runway viewers.
Okay, so at Mood, they have a dog that lives there, I guess, and his name is Swatch. I don't even watch it. Olivia watches it, so we went because she watches it and she wanted to go to Mood. And there was a pup. And so I started rubbing his shoulders because this is my trick with dogs. Most of them have sore muscles, and so I give them little shoulder rubs, and he kissed me right on the face.
Yeah, I would never let a dog that I love kiss me on the face, much less some rando,
well,
especially in New York City.
Your heart is cold like ice.
Well,
and your face is clean.
Very clean.
Okay, what's your keep, Nate? Wait, did we do y'all yet?
I did mine. Mine was Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
It's mine, the guy you're married to.
What's your keep, Travis?
I'm going to blow everyone's mind.
Oh, God.
Or you guys are going to be like, we've heard of those, and that's old school. Have y'all ever heard of a subsafe?
I just looked at his computer screen, and it says the ultimate cooler sub sandwich protector.
Wait, what?
Do you know about this thing?
No, I've never heard of this.
Dude, they're $17. Okay. What is the ultimate thing that you bring on a fishing trip?
Usually a sandwich of some type.
Yes. You either bring a sub sandwich or you bring a box of fried chicken. Those are the two choices. We've talked about this, right, on the show.
Uh-huh.
Right.
A sub safe is like this plastic, hard plastic container that you slide over your sub sandwich and then lock in place. And then you could throw it in the ice chest. It doesn't get wet, doesn't get soggy. It stays cool, but it doesn't get crushed, doesn't get smushy. How big time is that?
Pretty big time, but I don't know about $17.
Oh, come on, dude. Like, that wire basket in the top of a Yeti is like $35. And that don't do this.
It's similar to a banana bunker.
It is like a banana bunker, but it's a subsafe.
But less.
Yes. Less inappropriate for little ears.
What can I see a picture of it?
Yeah.
Are we going to link to this in the show notes?
Absolutely we are. You can get it in seafoam green or hot pink.
I don't know that it's that much safer than the banana bunker.
And it like screws together in the middle and it protects your son. No, Emily. it creates a 6 or 12 inch sub, and it comes with like a koozie thing that goes over the outside of it. Nate, do you see this?
Hold on.
I have to be excused from the studio.
TheSubSafe.com.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media @CastAndBlastFL.